Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is The Jesus Way of Healing One.
You know, last week I was preaching about miracle-producing disciples. How many of you were blessed by the message? You know, I was blessed by it, even though I was preaching it. And I was sitting under it, and some of us may miss the point. It was a creative miracle how Jesus not just raised a dead man to life, but this dead man was without any organs. Remember? How he was a soldier, how all his organs was removed, and Jesus did a creative work. And it's so powerful that many times that we think that even someone is dead. Now, well, he still have all his organs in him, he still can come back to life. What if he has without those organs? What God can do? You know, and I was sitting and say, God, you are such a powerful and creative God that you can do all things. And you can do all things. And sometimes it's until, as often I say it, when the rubber hits the road, what will you do? 2 days ago, a friend of mine contacted me, and we have not been in contact for past 10 years. And by chance, he saw my Facebook. Yeah? Thank God for Facebook. Yeah? And he said that, wow, I've been looking for you for years. And it seems that you had disappeared from the planet Earth. I said, no, I was hiding in Perth all this time. And he was saying that, you know, Richard, something I want to tell you. You know, I'm dying. You know, I got 4 years left. I said, wow, right? And he's suffering from an autoimmune sickness. And he said, and the doctors give me 4 years. My heart is gone. My liver is gone. My kidneys are gone. And it's just a matter of time. I'll drop dead. And I was thanking God, not for his sickness. I was thanking God that, thank God I was sitting in the teaching of the miracle of what Jesus can do. And he said that, well, today, you know, I brought my wife to see the doctor, and they discover lumps on the breast, you know, and this is where we are, you know. But faith was just bursting out of me. I said, nope, you're not going to die. Now, thank God I was sitting on this teaching called the healing, or the miraculous healing, or raising of the dead of the son of the widow of Nain, and God has not purposed you to die. Yeah, and not often we say things like this. Sometimes we can say this thing out of presumptuousness. You get what I'm saying? But when we have the word of God and we rest upon the word of God, it's not presumptuousness anymore. This is where we know that when God feeds us with the word of life, so that when the season, all we hear is words, are words of death, that word of life will carry us through. Amen? That's why I believe in revelation. I believe in resting in words of God. And I thank God that in our church, as I say again and again, we are not just doing mission as one part of what church will do. But the mission of God is the heart of First Light Church. Amen? And in our community, there are many people who understood the purpose. They understood what it means to live the missional life. Right, just in case you don't know, people like Doug and Sarah understand what it means to live the missional life. You know, how they see themselves, God putting them in the marketplace, and how they want to impact God, impact for God in the marketplace. And you want to know about how to impact for God in the marketplace? Well, talk to Doug and Sarah, or attend one of those Grace at Work gathering. I think it's good because we want to position ourselves to the things of God. And I also thank God among us, there are people who step up into the mission field, who step up into the serving of God, because they don't see themselves just living life as it is, but live life as God has purposed them to live. And we thank God for Kui and Grace, who step up, part of that missional life that God is calling them into. And the season they're up there, and the season they're back here, but they're still living the missional life. And we also want to thank God for people like Man and Ed. Come, wave your hand. They are very shy people, actually, you know. Hey, clap, like, come on, Beaver. Welcome them. You know, some of you may not have seen them, but they have been serving the Lord up in the mountains of Chiang Mai, you know, the foothills of Chiang Mai for the past 5 years, and they live their missional life, and they have been great people who have been a blessing to the body of Christ up there. And I thank God for next 2 months they are here with us. They're going to bless us. How are they going to bless us? They're going to lead worship next week. Amen. You know? And the week after, for 2 months, no, it sounds like a punishment. But we thank God, and just in case you know, Matt was among the was our first worship coordinator, and when First Light started, and how the Lord, and even for Ed, she was our first mission chairperson, you know. And one thing, First Light, we have a track record, we lose all our mission chair people into the mission field, you know. You know, and so those of you who become mission chairperson, well, you have this warning, you end up in the mission field, you know. But I think this is what it means to live the missional life. Like, I don't want to live life where God is just a part of it. I want to live my life where God is fully part of it. I know that whatever situation I'm entering into, God is with me and God is for me. That no matter where I am, because I am in Christ, my circumstances are also in Christ. Amen? And because if I know my circumstances are in Christ, the outcome is already purposed by God. I'm going to come up victorious. I'm not going to fight for victory, but I fight from a place of victory. Amen? And because of that situation, no matter where we are, what situation we are in, God is going to see us through. Because we carry the purpose of God. And I always believe, I always tell people, just like I tell my friend, you know, that your situation seems to be bad, but you have not fulfilled what God has asked you to fulfill. Also, 2 weeks ago, I received a text from Ken Chua. How many remember Ken Chua? Empowered to Influence. Well, he's losing his sight. You know, he's losing his sight. And he said, pray for me. And he asked the body of Christ all over and over to pray for him. This is a man of God who lived a missional life. And you know, somehow, when we are purposed to live the missional life, the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy. There's 3 D's he will do on us. 3 D's. What are 3 D's? First is distraction. If he can distract you, he will deceive you. Then second is deception. Then the third one is called disease. Distraction steals away your time. Distraction robs you of the time you have with God. That's why when our lives are filled with distraction, we always feel we have no time for God. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody here. But some of us can overcome distraction. But then what happens is we can enter into deception when the deceptions of the evil one attacks our mind. So first, he robbed away our resources of time, and now he robbed away our peace of mind, isn't it? So there's deception. But if we can overcome distraction and deception, what he does, he attacks our body. That's why people fall sick. There's sickness and diseases. But do we not know that because of who we are in Christ, we can overcome the distraction of the evil one? We can overcome the deceptions of the evil one, amen? And we can overcome sickness and diseases. As I said before, again and again, we are not sick people trying to be healed. We are healthy people that refuse to be sick. You know, there are mornings I wake up, I feel aches and pain. I'm not that old. But you still feel aches and pain, you know? Didn't help when I saw my doctor friend once and say, oh, once you hit 50 years old, you will face aches and pain. At the time, I was 49 years old. I said, no aches and pain. And then 50 years old, ding, ding. Oh. Yes, the aches and pain came. But I refused to say that, well, that is part of growing old. Yes, we recognize when we grow old, certain things just don't work. But do you not then recognize what we have in Christ, that he who raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power. Hallelujah. Yeah, he gives us lives to our mortal bodies. You know, the granddaddy verse of healing, I like it, is when Romans chapter 8, it says that, you know, that we now operate under the law of the spirit of life. Right, don't we meet the Romans 8? Just get the text right. You know, it just came to my mind that what it means, that he said that there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Distractions, deception, diseases operates within the law of what? Sin and death. But now we who are in Christ, there is now no more condemnation. So that means you, once there's no more condemnation, you are operating on the higher law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? So just imagine, there's 2 laws at work. One is called the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death, but there's a higher law called the law of spirit of life. Just like gravity, there's a law of gravity. Right, if you go to a tall building, you jump, you're not going to go up, you're going to go down because of the law of gravity. But there is a possibility for you to jump up from a tall building, not like Superman, but you can go up. That is if you're on a hang glider, right? Or you take a plane. A plane can fly because it operates on a higher law, the law of aerodynamics. But the law of gravity is still at work at all times. There is a higher law called the law of aerodynamics, and that's why the plane can fly. Even though a plane is heavier than air, it can fly. Because it operates with the revelation of a higher law. While we recognize there are distractions, there are deceptions, there are diseases, these are part of the law of the spirit of sin and death. But as a believer, hallelujah, say to your neighbor, are you a believer? And the neighbor say, yes. You say, do you not know you can operate on a higher law? The higher law or the spirit of life. Then your neighbor say, whatever. Now, I'm going to, as I talk about healing, we are the season we're sitting about healing. We are talking about something that is foundational, right? And I want to look at the text this morning. And I entitled my sermon called The Jesus Way of Healing. And it's going to be a seven-part series. Why seven parts? Because it's seven parts. But I purpose, because we need to understand how Jesus go about doing healing. And the text is taken from us from John chapter 5, right? And this is one, again, a very popular text most of us have come across. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, we all know from this text later that it is on the Sabbath. And if you look to the four Gospels, you can find seven Sabbath miracles. That means there's four, in the four Gospels, we find seven accounts in which Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day. And Sabbath, of course, we know is a picture of completion, isn't it? A picture of perfection. God rested on the seventh day. And when God rested means whatever he has done, God did not rest out exhaustion, right? Bear in mind, Genesis 2:2 did not tell God, finally, oh, I'm tired of doing all this thing. But rather God say, creation is complete. I am at rest. Right? It's complete in perfection. And so when every time Jesus talk about, or every time we look at the gospel, when Jesus does healing on the Sabbath, he's pointing to his complete ministry in our lives. But it's also a picture of the life that is to come. Right? The kingdom. When we all enter into the fullness of time, where the kingdom of God has come in completion, there is no more sickness and no more disease. That's what Revelation tells us. Because now we enter into what we call the eternal Sabbath. And so all these stories, all these accounts of Jesus healing people on the Sabbath points to us the reality that we can have in him, having their completeness. But it also points to us the fullness when we are completely free from sickness and diseases, when his kingdom come in that final victory. Amen? And so seven Sabbath miracles tells us of completeness, tells us of perfection. And the intent of God is for us to walk in divine health. Amen? Divine health. Right? And it's important. And so we all know this feast was happening, and some scholars say it could be a Passover, but it's okay. No, there was a celebration. Lots of people was going to Jerusalem. But there was a place called Bethesda. And Bethesda can mean the house of mercy. But actually, if you read Aramaic or read in other texts, Bethesda have a dual meaning. It can mean the house of grace or also the house of disgrace. Right? There's a double meaning to it. And most people will say, it's actually, Bethesda, what it means, the house of grace or house of mercy, generally, it means the house of disgrace. And many people thought that John wrote his gospel, it was mystical, it was allegory. Everything about Jesus' life was allegory. But actually, John was giving us an actual location. He was telling us where this place was. A pool called Bethesda, a place where sick people goes. Right, a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And those of you who have been to Israel trip, remember the pool of Bethesda, right? And basically this is it. And there you see a well. And what were they waiting for? They're waiting for something to happen. Before that happened, that this pool of Bethesda was actually dedicated to Asclepius, the god of medicine and health. This is one of the Greek gods. One of the Greek gods. And why they say that this pool actually is not part of the Jewish religion or not part of the Jewish faith is because this is a shrine given to Asclepius. Right? And he has a Semitic name called Asmun. It's interesting, if you go back to ancient time, that gods have different names. Even gods have Christian names. Just like if you are Zeus, In Greece, you become Jupiter in Rome. If you are Mars, when you're Apollo in Greek, you become Mars in in Romans, because the Romans adopted the Greek god and gave the Greek god all their own local name. So this place was well known among people as a shrine, a religious shrine, in which is dedicated to this god called Asmun or to Asclepius. And you see in Asclepius, there is what I call the rod of Asclepius. There is a pole, the pole of Asclepius, and there was a snake. Can you see that? And today, if you look at medical symbol, they use that as part of medicine. Right? So emergency services or medicine always use, so you can see a pole with a snake. Actually, it comes from this tradition or understanding of Asclepius, the god of medicine and health. People worship him. And people know that this pool of Bethesda was the actual location, but because archaeologists had discovered a lot of carvings of snakes on poles. And this was a place people believe. What was their belief? In John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For an angel went down to at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." So this was a myth, it was a legend that this pool, see, you must understand, spring water sometimes works in very mysterious ways. There's a certain time of the month, a certain time of the year, water will start bubbling up. So it can be, the level of water can go up and go down. So at a certain time of the year, water start bubbling up in this spring. And it looked as if an angel, right, was stirring the pool. And the idea was the first person in, whatever sickness and diseases you have, you will be cured. But because this was a very pagan place, right, the problem was if you are invalid or you are very sick, if someone pushes you into the water and you are not cured, what happened? You drown. So this was not a place of healing, it was a place of death. And these people who went there for healing were not going to what we call a part of the Jewish culture of healing, but really they embraced a pagan culture. And sometimes as in our world today, you know, we hear about quack medicine, right? We hear about quack doctors. Right, today we can't call quack doctors anymore. We live in a very political correct society. We call it alternative medicine. It's a thin line. Right, it's a thin line. And sometimes the problem with alternative medicine, it works sometimes, it doesn't work sometimes. Sometimes when people are seriously ill, instead of going to what we call convention medicine, they take alternative medicine. And sometimes it turns the worst. And what I'm saying is, I'm not against people who want to take on alternative medicine, but the problem with this situation that we are facing with was they were running to a religious shrine. They were running to a religious place. And sometimes as believers, we had this problem. Is that I met believers in many situations when they're full of sickness or they're not well, instead of coming to church for people to pray for them, or part of the body of Christ, we pray for their healing, they go to a Buddhist temple, because their Buddhist temple is well known for healing. So even though they are believers, they go to the Buddhist temple to pray for healing. And they'll do all kinds of ritual for the healing. And sometimes the problem with the body of Christ, we get ourselves very confused what is of God, what is not of God. But the picture here we see is this, that they go to a place which was well known for pagan worship, and somehow the gods only heal at certain times, only when the water starts stirring. So God heals at certain, their gods heal at certain time. They need to go to a certain ritual. The first person in get healed. If you don't get healed, you drown. And so what happened was this. Jesus came to the story. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" We're not sure what's wrong with this person. 38 years, he had an infirmity. Some people say that he was actually paralyzed for 38 years lying on a mat. Actually, the story didn't tell us he was paralyzed lying on a mat. He just said that he was sick for 38 years and he was lying on this mat. And then Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" What was this man's answer? "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." What do you notice about this man? Do you think he's a very happy man? Right. Here was Jesus. And sometimes the thing is this, can I tell you? Sometimes there are believers who believe that we must go to a certain ministry who is more anointed. Certain church is more anointed. Certain man who is more anointed. I'm not against people with more anointing. Right? I think in our church where we see speakers, men of women of God who are anointed, they had the grace of God in their life to teach certain things or to do certain ministry. But beware if we start chasing after more anointed ministry. That the ministry became more important than Jesus Christ himself. You get what I'm saying? And sometimes there are believers who will chase after anointing, chase after more anointed speaker, more anointed ministers. Be very careful. Because we must bear in mind that actually if you understand, all of us are anointed in Jesus' name. All of us are given His grace. Right? His grace. We all have His grace. You know, some of us has a grace to do certain things very well, but we don't have grace to do certain things very well. When we have the anointing, what does it mean we have anointing? When you have anointing for certain things, you can do it very quickly or do it very fast, while other people find it very difficult. When you have anointing in certain things, just like some people, they are very good in worship leading. They just stand behind a guitar, they know how to play a guitar. I've seen people like that before. Right, I have a friend of mine, right, back in Bible school. She was very good in doing deliverance ministry. Any demonic cases, no matter how difficult, once the devil see her, the devil runs. So we used to call her Ghostbuster in the Bible school. Hey, here comes the Ghostbuster. And Ghostbuster, no matter how difficult, how demonic the person is, when you bring her to that situation, she has such a grace of God that she can get rid of every demon. Some of us those days must fast for 30 days and 40 nights before we can fight one devil. She just appear, hook, 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 never gone. She has a grace. But Ghostbuster have a weakness. She's very scared of cockroaches. She's not fearful of demons, but we see a cockroach. That's it, you know. All hell breaks loose, literally. She'll scream, you know. So we always realize that, wow, we always tease Ghostbusters and say, wow, you have no fear of demons, but come to cockroaches, which is part of God's creation, you have issue. Yeah. There's a weakness I'm trying to overcome. Because she has no grace to overcome a cockroach. Come on, people. All of us are anointed. We all have the grace of God. Stop playing that game of, I need to chase after certain ministry. While it's good in the church, we receive ministry, people are anointed, but we don't chase after men and women. You get what I'm saying? We don't go to a more anointed setting. Because if you need a more anointed setting for God to work, there's a problem here. Jesus entered into a pagan place. And this place was well known for demons, demonic activities, killings of life, deceptions was happening. Remember, there was distraction, there's deception, and now there's a disease. And Jesus was in the most unanointed place. What does he say about us? Because we are in Christ, everywhere you are is anointed. Even in the most demonic place, if you know you are in Christ, hallelujah, you're not fearful. You know, I know some believers are fearful to entering the temple, entering to some place, oh, pagan, oh, demon. Hey, if you have Christ in you, you enter any place not fearful because you're not going to this temple to worship any other gods. But you're going to those places knowing that you are going to stand situation around because you are there. But what's wrong with this man? Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. Blame. He blames people why he doesn't have healing in his life. Once you blame people, you will also resent. But while I'm coming, he was crawling. Another step down before me. Resentment. Sometimes there are believers who are blaming people for not growing, or they are resentful of others not helping them to grow. The truth is this, people, let me tell you, what I'm going to say to you is going to be offensive. But if you are offended, don't worry, God will heal you. When people come to First Light Church, my vibes will go up when they tell me I'm not learning anything from the other church. So I come to this church for growth. All my vibes will go up. Why? We are not responsible for for your spiritual growth. You are responsible for your own spiritual growth. Say to your neighbor, you are responsible for your own spiritual growth. But what First Light can do is to resource you. We can have 3-2-1, we can have connect groups, we can have life groups, we can have a Kairos, we can empower to influence, we can have grace at work, we can have connect groups, we can provide you the resources for growth, but we are not responsible for your growth. You get what I'm saying? Because if you make any one of us responsible for your growth, let's say if we fail to do it, what will happen to you? Blame and resentment will come in. Right? We create a culture for growth. Right? We create a culture for growth, but we do not or we cannot be responsible for your growth. So if you have been here for a while and say, I'm not growing, well, whose fault? Yeah, it's yours. Because you are not giving yourself responsibility to grow. Right, if you're offended, don't worry. We got a healing line after service. We can pray for you. But Jesus said to him, rise, take out your bed and walk. If you want healing, if you want grow, Jesus' answer is, you need to reposition yourself. Reposition yourself. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. If you feel you're not growing, you feel there's no breakthrough, don't blame, don't be resentful, but it's time to shift your position. Why did Jesus tell this guy to rise up, take out your bed, and walk? Because Jesus is going to do something in this guy's life that he doesn't want this man to lie down anymore. For 38 years, this guy has been lying down. Nothing happens. For 38 years, he's been blaming people. No one helped me. Then he blamed. Someone got ahead of me. Your whole life is of blame and resentfulness. Nothing is going to happen. But when you prepare to rise and take up your mat and walk, wealth, health, wholeness come back to you. And this is what happened to this man. Because Jesus was not letting him go back to where he was. He said, now you rise and take out your bed. I think if, for us as a believer, as in this body, sometimes we get a misunderstanding of what rest means. Right? There's something called physical rest. There's something called rest as inactivity. But sometimes as believers, we use the word rest very loosely. God asked me to rest, why? But our rest actually is a spiritual disguise for laziness. Like, we use the word rest. Just like sometimes I ask believers, can you help me? They say, let me pray about it. That's a Christian way of saying no to you. They don't even say no to you. Let me pray about it. Very spiritual. Let me pray about it. Actually, the answer is no. You know already. And sometimes when God asks us to do something, we say, oh, or we know that God is pulling something out from us. Oh, I'm resting. I'm resting. Rest is a spirit, Holy Spirit directed activity. You get what I'm saying? If the Holy Spirit asks you to go and sleep, go and sleep. The Holy Spirit asks you to rise up and do good works, go and do good work. It's rest. It is a rest because you know God is doing something. You are working with God. It's a rest. So don't misunderstand rest as doing nothing. There are times God will ask us to do nothing. Right? But there are times God says, I want you to rest. I want you to start operating in the things of the Spirit. So rest is knowing that God is doing something and you are partnering with God. That's called rest. You get what I'm saying? Huh, people? So don't use the word rest very loosely. Sometimes we use certain words very loosely that we don't understand that God is telling us rest can be inactivity if it's directed by God, but rest is also Holy Spirit directed activity. God is doing something. I'm partnering with God. So when I pray for someone, I'm not fighting. As if it's going to happen, not going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I know the impossible can happen because God had asked me to minister. So my friend called me, pray for me. I knew that you will not end in death. You will live to the fullness of your days. I have that not confidence in myself. I have the confidence in the Lord. I think that's a spirit we need to have. And so this guy, on the Sabbath, he took out his mat because now he found completeness. He found the perfection because here was Jesus saying that Just rise up and walk. And because for 38 years, he was always blaming people, he was always resentful, but now suddenly he could rise up and walk, and he truly walked. Never say thank you. You know, in the meantime, you see all the miracles Jesus performed, people were very grateful, right? People were very grateful. They thanked the Lord. They worshiped him. They, oh, look at me. I was one blind, now I see. But this guy, oh, he rolled his mat. He started walking. No, thank you. And he was holding his mat. He met some Jews who at the time were under the Pharisee saying that you cannot work on the Sabbath. Which is true. But they define work in a very legalistic way. So if you carry something, it's considered work. And he was caught up by the law. Right? The Pharisaic law. It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Now he get fined. Right? And what was his answer? The healed man answered them, "He who make me well say to me, take out your mat and walk." Back to blaming people again. He was healed. But something about this guy inside him is what we call a bit one screw loose. Never grateful, never thankful, but when he was caught up, he still blamed the one who healed him. Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" But the man who was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. So when Jesus healed this guy, he never said thank you. He said, "Mr. Jesus, can I have your name card, please?" He never asked that. And Jesus withdrew because a multitude was forming. And then what happened was this. Afterward, Jesus found him in a temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Why was this man found in the temple? For 38 years, he was sick. According to the Pharisaic law, any man who was sick, or even according to Moses' law, he is considered unclean. And this was the first time in 38 years, in that context, he came back to church. He came back to the house of God. And Jesus said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Now, let me break it down for you. Not every sickness is caused by sin. Okay? Let's put it in context. When Jesus healed people, not all the time he tells them it was a sin that caused a sickness. But in this situation, it was very clear this man has a sin that caused his situation. Sometimes we fall sick because we lack of self-care. You get what I'm saying? Right? It's cold, it's out there, it's raining, it's winter, and you wear a singlet. Not everyone is like Brother Edmund. He's very strong, you know. You should see him at the worst of winter days. He still wears singlet and shorts. You know? Just kidding, right? He learned his lesson now. No. He knew I was going to pick on him. That's why he wear Puma. You know? But what I'm saying is this. Sometimes we lack our self-care. We fall sick. You get what I'm saying? Well, we fall sick. And not necessarily must be sin. Sometimes we got infected, right? So someone passed their flu bug to us, so we got sick. It can be that way. You know? But there are certain things that cause us to fall sick. Now, don't ask me what can be worse than lying flat for 38 years of your life. I don't know what's the worst thing. I think lying flat in your bed for 1 week is bad enough, right, for some of us. But this guy, Jesus say, you have an issue. You have an issue of your heart that needs to be dealt with. While physical healing is good, God can heal you physically, but I'm not going to keep on healing you. What I want to help you to do is to close that door that leads to your sickness again. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes if we trace the cause of our sickness, like, we need to bear in mind it's better to trace what causes it than trying to fix every sickness that comes. Because once we resolve a basic issue, everything aligns. So doctor tells us 80% of our sickness is caused by stress. Okay? If this is medically true, that means if I'm sick, most of the time, it must be a stress issue. Wow, somebody looks so shocked. Huh? Isn't it true? So if I'm sick, yes, I can take medication. I'm not saying we don't. But I'd rather go back to the very place of, why am I stressed? And resolve that stress issue. If I can resolve all my stress issue in the Lord, it means 80% of the time I'm not sick. Hey, does it make sense? And our body, if you know, God has made our body for a lot of healing. Like you got a cut in your finger, blood clot. Your body functions that way. Your body is created by God for healing. But there are times when we do not deal with so-called spiritual matters. We don't deal with emotional matters or mental issues. It can spiral into a lot of sicknesses, symptoms, and all this and that. But when we let the Lord reveal to us what is causing us that way. So many times, you know, when we pray for people, one of the things is this. Don't try to be a doctor if you are not. Some people are, they are better than doctor. You come to them for ministry. So how long have you been sick? How many doctors have you seen? Which specialists have you been seeing? What medication are you taking? No, unless you're a doctor, don't ask this kind of question. Sometimes the more you ask, the more faith oozes out from you. Oh, I've been 25 years sick. And I have so many people pray for me. Joyce Meyer prayed for me. Benny Hinn prayed for me. Billy Graham prayed for me. You know, all the latest Christian heroes have prayed for me. Suddenly you hear all this and nobody ever heard of you, right? But my point is, the moment you know someone is not well, just pray. The problem with us in the body of Christ, we have gathered a lot of myth about healing, right? And some people say, oh, we need faith to heal. Sometimes, yes, you need faith. But this man had no faith. So faith is not always the thing that causes about healing. Oh, sometimes we need to repent. Yes, sometimes repentance is critical for healing to take place. But the Jesus way of healing gives us different setting, different way of how we can reach out to heal people. Amen. All we know is, let me tell you, Jesus himself tells us in the gospel. Everyone that was sick came to him. Those who were sick with sickness and diseases were oppressed by the devil, right? Oppressed by the devil. We agree on that, isn't it? In Matthew, they were sick because they were oppressed by the devil. The devil oppressed them by distraction, deception, or by disease. My belief is this. As long as the devil is still oppressing people, you and I have every right to pray for the healing. Oh, you don't get it. As long as the devil is still oppressing people, you and I have the God-given right, the authority and power to pray for people's healing. Right? Don't need to fall into camps like, is it faith healing? Is this divine healing? Is it healing by repentance? Healing by this? Healing by that? Just know that every time someone who is sick and you know the devil is behind it somewhere, pray for them. Don't diagnose people too much. Pray first, then diagnose later. And this is how we come about helping people. Jesus was telling him not as a condemnation. See, you have been made well. Sin no more. His sin no more is to tell him first, you are now well. You are now healthy. You know you are healthy that refuses to be sick. Huh? Now you are healthy, but now you must refuse to be sick. Okay? Sin no more. Is it possible for us in the body of Christ to fall sick because of sin? To me, sin is not just an act. Every time you and I sin, it's an act of unbelief. It's an act of not aligning ourselves to the purpose of God. And it's possible for Christians to fall sick. But do you know, Paul tells us that there's only one reason. There's only one reason. Say to your neighbor, there's only one reason why we fall sick as believers. Only one reason. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29-30. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Not discerning. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. I need to unpack this whole verse in subsequent sermons, right? But basically, we all know the value of taking Holy Communion. But we don't take Holy Communion as a ritual, come on, people. We take it because we have a revelation discerning the Lord's body. What are we supposed to discern? The finished work. By His stripes, we are healed. Right? It's not just spiritual healing, but it is also involved our physical healing. And so as believers, when you and I have not believed, or I won't say have not believed, have not discerned, that means have a deepened awareness that now I am in Christ. As He is, so am I in this world. So when I don't feel well, I'm not giving permission not to feel well. But rather, when I don't feel well, I discern who I am in Christ, I take my communion again, bearing in mind that I'm taking the very body and blood of Jesus, who bought me with a price. That through Him, although I'm aware the law of sin and death is operating, but now I'm operating on the higher law of the Spirit of life. Agree? So the only reason why believers fall sick is this. It's because we have not discerned the Lord's body. That means we have forgotten who we are. But you fall sick people, don't condemn yourself, please. This is not the place of condemnation. It's not bringing, oh, I'm sick because I didn't discern the Lord's body. No. Now you have revelation. Now you say, I am with the Lord. The same power that raises Jesus from the dead is the same life that's given to my mortal body. Amen? That now the same power that's operating right now, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is operating in me. See, the problem is this, is that many people still go on chasing so-called anointed ministry. Or sometimes Christian, they say that, oh, we need to go to some religious shrine, some Christian shrine, famous for healing. So there are people who go to Majagure in Bosnia because they see apparition of Mary, the waters are good, or go to Lourdes to drink the water, it's very good, healing. Come on, people. That kind of mindset is that you still hope for a visitation. Only old covenant people still think looking for a visitation. In a new covenant, you are in an inhabitation. You are in the habitation of God. His life is in you. That's why many times I correct people when they say, Lord, give us more power. No, He's not giving you more power. He's giving you all power already. It's all in you. Or sometimes we pray, move, Holy Spirit. The very fact His name called Spirit means Ruah, means wind. You don't ask Him, you never ask a wind to move, right? A wind naturally moves. Or sometimes we pray for people, we say, more of you, Lord, more of you, Lord. You think we're putting ketchup? If you're offended, we're going to have healing lines afterwards. Right? But I'm saying to you guys is this. We don't say more of you, in that sense of praying for a visitation. We all have the habitation of God in us. The power of God working in us. Amen? Amen? So what do we learn? The man departed and took the Jews and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Finally, he knew who. He went back to this group of people who condemned him. It was Jesus who made him well. And for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Because Jesus healed on Sabbath. And according to the legalistic mindset, you can't do healing on the Sabbath. Say that one more time. But Jesus answered, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. This is the first time, people, Jesus publicly declared that He is God. My Father is working, and I'm working with Him. It's a bit of a, what we call, paradox. God is resting, but God is working. God is resting, in fact, in a place of He brought completeness to us. But there's a work involved here of God that He wants us to experience His completeness. Amen. To Jesus, healing on the, to keep the Sabbath, to Jesus, now keeping the Sabbath is not about not carrying a mat or not healing people. But to keep the Sabbath in Jesus' definition, Come on, people, you need to write this down. To keep the Sabbath to Jesus is always to heal the hurting, to help the broken. So sometimes we use very loaded question, are you keeping the Sabbath? But to keep the Sabbath is to look around us. Who is hurting? Who is not well? When we go and pray for them, when we minister words of life to them, when we encourage them, people, we are keeping the Sabbath. Amen? You agree? And for Jesus, forgiving of sin and healing people is easy. But sometimes as believers, we make it very hard. We think forgiving our sin is easy, but for God to heal us is difficult. But I do not believe that. I believe it's only when the body of Christ dare to rise up. No, sometimes the body of Christ also make the mistake. Is that we say we must create an atmosphere for healing. We must create an atmosphere for healing. So sometimes people started to have healing ministry, healing events, healing services. People, I tell you, it is unnecessary. Because the atmosphere for healing is in you. Not in you trying to create a presence. You need to sit in a while and think about it. Sometimes we can say, oh, I can sense God's presence in this place. Yes. But the truth is, you should sense God's presence always. Because He who is in you is greater than He who is in the world. Agree? That's why I always resist for a long time that let's have a healing service. Let's create an atmosphere. Because when we speak words like that, it's actually words of unbelief. We are still asking for visitation and not living in the reality of the habitation. Come on, people. Come on, people. My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. The work Jesus is doing is He see what God is doing, He's doing. Oh, how wonderful it is when all of us, not just some of us, are engaged in the purpose of God. Not too often we say, only the pastor can pray for me. Only some of my leaders can pray for me. As much as we have raised our elders, our life group leaders, many of our leaders to pray and minister, the true way, the biblical way is all of us are minister of God. Amen. Say to your neighbor, you're a minister. You know, you're a minister of God's grace. Yes, sometimes we need people to pray for us. But there must be a season people cannot pray for us, but they pray with us. We stand in agreement in prayers. But much more that not just some of us here in First Light, but all of us are engaged in the mission of God. Because when we're sitting and receiving the Word of God, we're moving from a blame culture, a resentful culture, to a culture of thanksgiving because of the life of Jesus in us. Amen. Come on, people, let's raise our hands. Let's stand up and raise our hands.